You've seen just a touch. Do you realize that they just said 17 verses? That's on top of how many verses a week?
Each pace has its own verse. I mean, they probably memorized 150 verses by now.
Yeah. In 10 or 12 weeks of school, they've probably memorized at least 150 verses. I'll take that over what the public schools are putting out. They say the proof's in the pudding. Well, you just got the taste of the pudding, amen? And the pudding's pretty good. You say, well, preacher, my children don't go there. Well, they can enroll anytime you're ready. You talk to Brother Josh. He said, well, it's the middle of a semester, so I'd get my kids out of that poison as fast as I could. And I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm telling you this, it works. Brother Fugit was here a week ago. He graduated from ACE. Future governor of Kentucky went to an ACE school. It works, I'm telling you, it really does. My honor to introduce our assistant pastor, Brother Joshua Bush. He's not our assistant pastor due to his last name. He's our assistant pastor because he's a man of God that knows what he's doing. I had my choice. Matter of fact, when I brought Brother Fugit here for the meeting a couple weeks ago, he said, Brother Bush, he said, very few dads would hire their son. He said, I have a couple of my children that work for me. He said, what made you do that? I said, I had my pick of whoever I wanted in the country, and I needed somebody that knew how to think like me, who wasn't afraid to say, we need to do this and this and this, and not look at it as disloyal. I said, he needed to tell me the truth. He said, I love how you think. He said, I've watched you and Brother Josh work together. He said, it's kind of like hand in glove. And honestly, that's the way it's been. Now, if you see us at home, it's not that way. But when it comes to the work, it really is. At home, it's still dad and son, and we still fuss and have all the good times. That's just what it's all about, amen? We do it just for fun. He doesn't like Ohio State, and I don't like LSU. And he's bitter because we're always ranked above them. And it doesn't matter. One time in 20 years, LSU wins the championship, and he thinks they're the best. But besides that, that's why we're in second place. But I enjoy that. But I mean this. I could have chosen anybody I wanted in the country, and I got who I wanted. And you're starting to see why. You're starting to see that here's a young man who has wisdom beyond his years. There's a young man that desires to see your kids do what few get to do. Here's a young man that went through Christian school his whole life. Seriously. He's been through what your kids are wanting to go through. And his wife, the same way. What a great team. You're right, Brother Josh. Our staff, they get paid pittance. You don't realize the folks that work in the school didn't even take a paycheck for the first 5 or 6 weeks. And the paychecks they get, most of the public school teachers make more in an hour or two than they make for an entire week. Seriously. Prior to taxes, $150 a week or $75 a week. Now, how many teachers would work like that? Say, well, how come it's not more, preacher? Because we're trying to make it affordable for everybody. As we get more students, we'll pay them more. But we're paying the bills. They're doing it because they love your kids. He's not getting a penny more to be principal. He's added that to what he is already doing. It's not a matter of salaries. It's a matter of investing in people. And that's what it's all about. Brother Josh, come preach to us, please.
Grab your Bibles, Psalms 127. I realize what time it is. I will get you out on time, I promise. I've got about 3 hours worth of preaching to do in 25 minutes, so I encourage you to listen quick. If I'm successful today, I'll be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and you're not going to be sure which one you're getting next. I'm primarily going to focus on the educator side approach of this lesson today. I want you to understand Psalms 127. This is not a sales pitch. That was earlier. This is preaching. Today, the next 25 minutes, a sincere, diligent effort to show you biblically the superiority of Christian education. And I need to ask you to lower your guard, please. I want you to understand that I'm not attacking you as an adult, as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, as a dad. I'm in your corner, and I will build you up today if I'm successful. I'm not attacking you because I understand if I ask for a raise of hands, probably less than 2% in this room would probably raise their hand saying they were educated in a Christian school. And you're obviously successful at what you're doing in life because you're here today. But I wonder how many times you've sat in church and said, man, I wish I'd have got this earlier. So today is a plea for you to give your children what you wish you had. And there's no greater gift you could give them than what I'm about to give you today. Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. It's a bit of an odd switch. You start at the beginning there, you start thinking building, protecting a city. And you get to verse number 3 or 2, and we're talking about kids now. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. A fruit of the womb is his reward. So and arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The title of the message this morning is this: don't waste your shot. Don't waste your shot. Lord, I love you. I thank you. You have no idea how hard it is for me to stand here. If I could bring you down and just let you talk to them the way you've spoken to me, it'd be much more successful. So fortunately this morning you're stuck using me, and I'd ask that you'd allow me to be stepped aside. May today's message be clear, precise, and on point for what is needed for this day and age. You know how much I love this country. You know how much I love this church, this school, these kids. Lord, today's truth is very important. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Looking at three requirements for properly educating the next generation. I don't plan on using the phrase Christian education in any of my points necessarily, but I'm going to use the word. But I want you to think of education as a whole, because education is life.
Yes.
You can't live life without being educated. Now, you can go through life uneducated, but everywhere you go, you're being educated by something, by someone, somewhere. Verse number 1, we find that in education, the first requirement is a proper expectation. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. That word build means to raise anything on a support or foundation. If you do not have the proper expectation in education, you will fail. Just as if you build a house on a faulty or no foundation at all, that building will not remain firm and strong through the storms of life. It will fall and it will fail. The next word we discover in verse number 1 is the word keep. The word keep is the same word as refrigeration. In order to keep from spoiling, I cannot expect perishable items to remain fresh until they're ready to be used if I've exposed them needlessly to the environment that will corrupt and pollute them.
Come on.
Proper expectation. The world is continually claimed that a Christian cannot be educated and be godly. But that is just not so.
That's right.
We need to recognize that we cannot get God's results by using man's method, and that the only way to get God's results in life is by living life God's ways.
That's right.
In order to have proper education, you must first have a proper expectation. No wonder the Bible tells us in Galatians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you, turn you rotten before your time through philosophy, deceit, and the traditions of men.
Yes,
and after the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. If I could put a definition to next to public education in the dictionary, it would be Colossians 2:8. They've removed Christ and they use nothing but philosophy, deceit, then traditions of men.
That's right.
First requirement for proper education is a proper expectation. Number 2, we find proper exertion. The Bible says in verse number 2 of Psalms 127, it's vain. It is vain. It is vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. How much money, how much effort, how much energy is being spent and wasted because it's not being used properly.
That's right.
Proper exertion. The work, the walking, the waking. It's all pointless, it is empty, and it is fruitless when you try to get God's results while using man's philosophy. This is only going to result in frustration and insanity.
Yes.
No matter how convinced an individual, a family, or a community, or a government is convinced that they're doing the right thing, if it is not within the boundaries of God's word, it will be wasted energy.
Yes.
I challenge you to find me how to get better results using something other than God's way.
Yes, sir.
Living life without God's living life without faith in God is simply like putting your park in neutral in a parking lot, flooring the gas, and expecting to get home.
Right.
You've disengaged the transmission.
Yes.
You've exerted the same amount of energy as if you were driving home, but you didn't get anywhere because you wasted your opportunity. Man sits in his chair, man sits in his office and convinced that God is just an old man sitting somewhere up in the head with his head in the clouds that's got no idea what's going on, and all those who follow him are ignorant, are dumb, are stupid, and have no idea what's going on. They're just blindlessly following a tradition of a good man, and that they're ignorant and parroting what they've been taught. But I'm here to tell you, I will stack the results of Christian education next to public education any day of the week.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in public education.
Uh-oh.
In man's philosophy. In helly weird. No, it is not in vain in the Lord. Except the Lord build. Except the Lord keep. It is vain for you to rise up early. It's a waste of energy. The third requirement is proper execution. It's from this we'll find the message this morning. Children, whether ours or not, are a valuable treasure who are to be invested in by all who have been invested in. That means all of us.
Yes.
If you've been invested in, you owe it to the next generation to reinvest.
Yes, sir.
The number one probably reason why America is failing is we are selfish.
Yes, sir.
We are so focused on what we want, our life, that we're not willing to do for somebody else what our forefathers have done for us.
Yes.
We love the patriotic themes, and I will stand behind the old red, white, and blue 110%. And I love the motivation that we receive from that flag. But how come we've lost the translation of the flag to the classroom when it's okay to ignore the sacrifice of those who have blazed the trail of right and truth and then drop it for error and falsities?
That's right.
Children are not the fruit. But wait a minute, Brother Josh, that you read and said in verse number 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It takes time for the fruit to reproduce. They are a heritage. And if we properly invest in the heritage, if we will fertilize, if we will water, if we will guard, if we will protect, if we will instruct, they will grow up to produce and be the fruit. The only way that the heritage remains profitable is by protecting the heritage until they can reproduce that fruit. The current generation is compared to a mighty man who not only has the knowledge of how to use a bow and arrow, but how to also have prepared his arrows to fly.
Yes.
I challenge you to go out hunting, be the best bowsman, but have a faulty arrow and still be successful. The Bible compares you to a mighty hunter.
Yes, sir.
Who not only is well equipped in the bow, but he has also properly prepared his arrow.
Yes, sir.
A good bowman is only complemented by an arrow that is suited for the task. You being a skillful hunter in life will fail by failing to properly educate your arrows to fly, your children.
That's right.
If you waste your shot, you've only got one shot.
Yes, sir.
You don't get a do-over in rearing your children.
That's
so
right.
Why on God's green earth will we take lightly the opportunity that God has given us to love, cherish, nourish, instruct, and train these precious heritage that God has given us that will be used as arrows to defeat the enemy?
That's right.
I find the phrase very interesting. All you Christians, you dumb bunnies, you've got no effect in a real-world application.
Come on.
Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, quiver full of arrows that are ready to shoot. You go there. You go there. Hey, you take that job. Hey, you go there. You see where we're going to this? They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
Yes, sir.
What's the gate? You realize that's the city politics?
That's right.
You realize that's the government of the day was taking place at the gate? And the gates of hell shall not prevail? Those are not talking about the stationary pillars that were posted in front of hell. That's the spiritual warfare that we face today.
That's right.
And the only way that we will be effective in defeating the devil, in defeating humanistic philosophy, in defeating communism, in defeating any other negativity that America has opened herself up to, is by properly training the next generation.
Yes,
we've wasted years.
Yes.
We've wasted years. You're not going to see this result in your lifetime. I won't see the result in my lifetime, but I'm going to fight tooth and nail. I'm going to get bloody knuckled. I'm going to get burnt knees, and I'm going to fight tooth and nail until I got no tooth left, and I'm going to gum you to death. We're going to fight for the next generation.
Yes.
You will not change public education. You'll be more successful by repairing the Titanic with the duct tape than you will by repairing public education. It's time to abandon it. You need to have proper execution. Don't waste your shot. The number one complaint against Christian education is that it robs children of their ability to interact in the real world. But the Bible clearly tells us in Psalms 127:5, but if we are skillful hunters and train our arrows, that we will be able to speak in the gates with the enemies.
Yes.
Three reasons why Christian education is the only true way to educate your children. Number one, because of the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:10, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid of Jesus Christ. God's word is the foundation of all education.
Man.
Regardless, there's no truth outside of God's truth. You can't make up truth. You can't fabricate truth. You can't fabricate right and wrong. The only place to get it is from God's word. So how in the world do you think your children are going to learn what is right and get truth and be educated outside of what education is?
That's right.
The Bible gives us spiritual and moral maturity, while the world removes Bible values and ejects discipline. The Bible gives us the knowledge of truths and facts, and while the world winks at cheating and smirks at prayer. The Bible gives us the ability to think rationally, while the world critiques Christian education and produces mindless robots.
Come on.
The Bible is practical. It gives us the being able to have capabilities and skills in life, while they fail at phonics and pass at illiteracy. Less than one quarter of the people who graduate from a public high school are able to read on a fifth grade reading level. And they want to call us the ignorance.
Come on.
The Bible teaches us commitment to traditional values while they promote sex and flaunt virtue.
Come on.
They come to us to fix their home when it's wrecked and ruined. By what we stood over here and said, don't train your children to do. And then, when they don't like our answer because we're ignorant, we don't have some word of knowledge to slap on them and wave a wand and fix their life, that the problems they created, they call us ignorant. While we're standing here in tears, begging for you to see the need of educating your children the way God instructs, because there's no other way that would be more beneficial to them in their life than by doing what God said.
Yes.
Number two. Christian education is the only true way to educate the next generation because not only of its foundation, but of its fortification. The truth of God's word. Above all, taking the shield of faith. I don't have time to develop this truth, but truth is a shield, not a hindrance. That's always a funny verse. You don't walk around, you know, Walmart with your Bible in front of you, dodging bullets. But when you live your life by God's word, you read the book of Proverbs and you find out who goes on and is punished. Who goes on and is destroyed? It is the simple, it is the foolish. But it is those who obey and apply Bible principle who walk through life unscathed and who are protected. Not that they never face battle, because that's what the shield is for. This is a battle. This is a spiritual warfare when it comes to rearing your children in the next generation. But the truth that you have in your hand is the very fortification that keeps Christian education safe and pure.
Yes.
In Christian education, we don't give them a choice to do right.
That's
we
right.
make them do right.
Man.
Well, that's not fair. Well, get over it. That's life.
Man. That's right.
Christian education, we don't give them a choice other than the right choice.
Amen.
We not only train them and create habits of doing right, but we sit back and say, now you got to go make it on your own when you go home.
Yes, sir.
I've challenged these kids many a Monday morning after a long weekend, said, it's a shame if you went home and your mom and dad can't see a change in your heart and your attitude. We expect them to live at home the way we teach them in school.
Yes, sir.
There should be a change. Yes. Christian education, we protect them from themselves. Why in the world do we care more about tomatoes than we do our kid? Where in the world do we think the philosophy of, well, let my children explore the world. Let them enjoy sin. They'll realize how bad it is. And then they'll come crawling back. And then they'll realize, well, I can be more beneficial.
Too late.
You go buy a Corvette. Fail to change the oil. Don't put gas in it until you run out. Beat it to heck. And then expect it to be more valuable at the end. Where in the world? Well, you can go play with sin and it's okay. Where do you put your best prized tomatoes? In a greenhouse? Until the weather's proper to plant, to produce? It's a shame we care more about our tomatoes than we do our children.
Come on.
That's all an excuse for laziness. That's all that is.
Yes.
We just don't want to take on a personal responsibility of teaching them. We teach them that the Christian life is life. There is no life outside the boundaries of biblical principles. There is only death. Read Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the life that's provided to me as a Christian through the Word of God, is life.
Yes, sir.
There is no life outside this book. You step outside the bounds of this book, something dies, whether it's your testimony or anything else. I must move on. The third reason that Christian education is the only way to educate your children is because of the fulfillment. We found first is the foundation, second was the fortification, and third was the fulfillment. The next generation will become skillful in training the next generation to do what the previous generation is doing if we succeed at our task at hand.
Yes.
The family, the husband and wife, the mom, the dad, the church, the grandma, the grandpa, the aunts, the uncles, the Christian school, the Sunday school, all these entities that invest in their lives into teaching the next generation how to live God's way will not be ashamed of the product. You know who's ashamed? A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
Yes, sir.
You let a child go do what he feels is right, and how many parents are brokenhearted?
That's right.
And blame themselves, and many times rightfully so. Not always, but many times. But they're ashamed at the actions of their children. I've never heard somebody say, well, I just spent too much of my life serving God and loving God. My life's a mess. The only people and institutions who are embarrassed by the outcome of their effort are those who forsake and abandon godly principles and substitute man's philosophies in its place. When we discredit and undermine the authority of God's Word by living our lives contrary to God's Word, we are teaching the next generation that it does not matter what God says and that you can live your life however you want and still enjoy life and be successful.
That's right.
Got 9 minutes and I've got 3 points. We need to understand, lastly, the responsibilities to have Christian education. And when I say that phrase, I don't mean the Christian school. My goal is to work myself out of a job. My goal is to be a Sunday school teacher that teaches young families how to educate their children to the point where they don't need to send them to our school.
Good.
And that mom and dad teach the children at home.
Amen.
And learning institutions came about because people were too lazy to continue their education at home. Back in the day when there was trades, you could go find Bob Jones down at the blacksmith learning how to shoe horses. You could learn education that way. Education is meant to be done at home. My goal is to do just that. Number one, the condition of Christian education. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 7. Thou shalt. Well, that sounds a lot like a commandment, right?
Yes,
if you feel like it, if it's convenient, if it's accepted by society. Thou shalt teach. That word teach, is it? That's a very interesting word. And I was amazed at the correlation between Psalms 127 and Deuteronomy. That word teach means to sharpen or to whet, like a sword or an arrow. Thou shalt teach them. You're going to sharpen them diligently into thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. Where in there do we find an institution other than the home? We don't. Now, as Christian educations, we use this verse because that's what we're trying to implement as our role model that God instructed to use to teach children because it's the best. But it's at home.
Yes, sir.
And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. There is no government successful that abandons the principles of God's word. That's a whole other lesson for another day. You as parents must take personal responsibility for the education of your children. It's not my job. I only get to fill in the cracks.
It's good.
God knows that no other person is qualified to be responsible for the education of your children as you are. Because if there was, He'd have given it to them. But He didn't give your children to us. He gave your children to you for you to rear. It's not the church's job. It's not the pastor's job. It's not the school's job. It's not the government's job. It's not the teacher's job. It's not a humanistic philosopher's job. It's not some paganistic starlet's job. And it is definitely not the job of Hollywood to rear your children. Yeah. It is your job.
Man.
You as the parents must recognize that it is not the will of God that your child be placed under philosophy of education that will shackle and enslave them.
Right.
No single parent with the right mind is going to put their children in a situation knowingly that that will hurt them. Then why would we do it with the education system?
That's good.
Hear ye the word of the Lord which spake unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of his hands of a workman with the axe. They deck it with silver. They make it look good. With gold they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be carried, be born, because they cannot go. Learn not the way of the heathen.
Yes, sir.
They look good. They've platted themselves with gold. They've got a lot to promise, but it's empty.
That's right.
And here you are wishing you could be like them. It's good for my children. Number one, the condition of Christian education. Number two, the content of Christian education. True education must offer both a spiritual and academic content.
Yeah.
One without the other is destructive.
Yes, sir.
So both are necessary in true education.
Yes, sir.
You walk through the door, I'll overemphasize this sometimes. I'll tell the kids, I'm going to give you a Bible verse, and we're not talking about God anymore. Because sometimes they don't listen, because they think it's God this, God that, church this, church that. Yeah, that is all there is to life. But I need to get them to see that it applies to real life. That because of that, I am successful here.
Amen.
Spirituality is the rudder of the intellect. And without adequate spiritual content, education produces nothing more than unprincipled and destructive barbarians.
Yeah. That's right.
Godly character with integrity, Romans 12:2. Oh, I like. Can I stop giving illustrations? The kids love this one. They know this one's coming. Easter eggs. What's your favorite kind of Easter egg? Yeah. See, even Gus knows. Was that Gus? Oh, that was Logan. Okay. Oh, I thought that was Gus. Even the you know what the most depressing thing is? You bite into a chocolate Easter egg and it's empty. Criminal. You pack that full of peanut butter and boy, is that wonderful. The world is that empty chocolate Easter egg. It looks the same, but it ain't got nothing in it. Morality. Responsibility. I don't have time. Academic excellence in all subjects. That you study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands. That doesn't sound like a lazy man's job.
That's right.
That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. If Christian education is done right, there's nothing lacking.
That's
including
right.
Academic success. What was that list of courses your children can take? Calculus? Trig, geometry, physics, biology, it goes on and on. Tell me what we can't give them.
That's right.
And make them successful. I challenge it. True education emphasizes both the spiritual and academic excellence that is based on a God-centered philosophy of education. Christian education completes a child's life. It does not compete with the child's success.
That's right.
It only better equips them. This stupidity that claims because you're a Christian you can't succeed in the work world is dumb. We looked at Joseph. The Pharaoh, the king of a country, said, there is none in which there's a spirit like this man. He was successful. He solved the economic problem. And he was a Christian.
That's right.
Lastly, first we saw the condition, the content, and lastly, the consequences of forsaking Christian education. Number one is unfruitfulness. The Bible tells me in Psalms 127 that the fruit of the womb is his reward. There's happiness. There's joy. There's success. There's victory over the woes of this world. But the Bible tells me in Titus 3:14, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful.
It's good.
Destruction is the consequence of forsaking biblical principles. Isaiah 59, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid your faces from before you that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. They speak lies. They convince, they conceive mischief. They bring forth iniquity. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Problem of public education system. See, yep. The wasting and the destructions are in their paths, and yet we scratch our head wondering why we can't fix it. Death is the result of forsaking Christian education. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
That's right.
Time fails for me to continue in giving you the biblical philosophy of Christian education. But let me close with three statements. Do not be fooled into believing that just because your child has a Christian education, they cannot or will not succeed in the business world. Look at those who were the wealthiest in the Bible. They were the ones that lived by biblical principles.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever.
That's right.
Don't be fooled into believing that just because you're a Christian, you must be uneducated and you must be ignorant. You must realize that it is not until one embraces biblical philosophy that one opens the door to all knowledge and understanding. Do not be fooled into believing that you can allow your children to be exposed to humanistic philosophy and man's reasoning and still produce the most effective children. If we're fighting so hard at a political level to regain America, why would we subject our children to the very institution that produced the problem?
Yes, sir.
Don't waste your shot. You only get one. It starts in the home. The fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandment. Psalms 111, verse number 10. We'll bow our head, we'll close our eyes.
You've heard it. You've heard the truth. Isn't it amazing? You never hear about a school shooting in a Christian school. Wonder, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Have you settled that spiritual question in your life?